Thanks for tuning in and making Res Life a part of your day. Whether this is your first time listening or this is a part of your weekly rhythm, we are glad you're here. If you'd like to connect more throughout the week, check us out at reslife.org, download our app, or follow us on social media. It's time for today's message, so let's dive in.
When God created Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God said that he created them, and then he said, and let them have dominion. So you were created to rule. You were created to have dominion. In fact, in Psalms 8, it says, for you have made him a little lower than angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. How many things were under Adam and Eve's feet? All. Literally, they were God's under ruler. God gave them dominion, right? Now, the thing about God is he said this in the Psalms. He said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that's gone forth out of my mouth. So God said, I've given you dominion, but he's not going to alter that. He's not going to take it back. So God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. We all know what happens. Satan comes. He approaches them as a serpent. And what he does is he comes to deceive them. He doesn't come as a lion or a saber-toothed tiger or as a mammoth and say, obey me or I'll squash you. No, he comes with trickery. He comes with deceit. The reason was he did not have the power, the authority, or the dominion to make them do something. Right? So he had to come and deceive them. And that is what he did. Now, God had said to Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, blessing and calamity, don't eat of it. Because in the day you'll eat of it, you will surely die. Now, we know what happens. They eat of that tree. And God said, in the day you'll eat of it, you'll die. But the Bible tells us Adam lived for 930 years. But he did die the day that he ate of it. But he didn't die physically. He died in his relationship with God. Before they sinned, before they bowed their knee to Satan, every day God came and they walked with God. They talked with God. They had fellowship with God. But once they sinned, they're hiding from God. God said to Adam, where are you? He said, well, I'm hiding. I'm afraid. You see, before they had fellowship, but after they were afraid of God, they hid from God because they were no longer in relationship with God. That part of them that had a relationship with God, it died. You see, in the Bible, death literally means separation. James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead. What's death? When the real you, the spirit, leaves your body's dead. It's separation. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve found themselves separated from God. They were afraid of God. They had no longer a relationship with God. I remember growing up, we went to church, but I wasn't right with God. I knew I wasn't right with God. And let me just tell you what, I hated church. We read the Bible every day at home. I hated when they read the Bible. I didn't like being around Christians. When they'd sing those Christian songs, I remember we'd come home from church on Sunday night. My parents had, some of you people can remember this, they had this big console thing. It was a television, it was a record player, and it was an AM/FM radio. I remember those things. You are all old, all right? But we would come home from church on Sunday night. Every Sunday night, my dad would go over there. He'd turn that thing on WFUR, right? That was the religious station where they would have hymns on Sunday night. I literally remember going in my room, putting my pillow over my head and squishing my ears and going, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. All right? Now, that was me for 20 years. I'm 20 years old, right? I surrender my life to Jesus. I receive him as my Savior, right? The next day, I mean, in fact, even take the next day. I mean, instantly, I wanted to read the Bible. Instantly, I wanted to praise God. Instantly, I wanted to be around Christians. You say, what happened? Well, I got changed on the inside. Jesus said, you're born again. Right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All the things I wanted to do before I became a Christian, I didn't want to do. And all the stuff I didn't want to do, I wanted to do. How many can relate to that? You see, when you get saved, your want-to-er gets changed. Somebody said, well, what do you sin? More than I want to. I don't want to sin, right? I want to do what pleases God. When you're right with God, you want to have fellowship with God. You want to worship God. You want to read your Bible. You want to be around Christians. If somebody had to drag you to church today, it's because you're not right with God. That's good preaching. That's just good preaching. So the relationship with God changes. But something very dramatic happened at that point. Right? Luke chapter 4, verse 5. The devil takes Jesus and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And this is what the devil said. All this authority I will give you and their glory of all the nations. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I wish. Well, originally, God gave it to Adam and Eve. But the devil said, somebody gave it to me. Who did it? Adam and Eve did it. When they bowed their knee to Satan, when they sinned, he came in and took their authority, their dominion, their power. He took it from them. So it's like I remember when we lived in Mexico, we would rent a house to live in, right? Now, we didn't own the house, we rented the house. But once we signed the lease and we had rented the house, the owner of the house needed our permission to come in the house. Right? Well, that's kind of what happened with Adam and Eve. God gave them dominion, but they subleased to the devil. And he took their position. In fact, the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 calls Satan the god, small g, of this world. Originally Adam and Eve had that position of authority. But now Satan has taken it. And he said, someone delivered it to me. And again, we know who that was. It was Adam and it was Eve. So I want you to think about this. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14 that God created Satan. When he created him, he was a cherub angel. The Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covered. That's who Satan was. And the truth is that Adam and Eve created the devil. When they gave him authority, when he took their authority, right? It wasn't authority he had rightfully. He took Adam and Eve's authority. Somebody said, well, why didn't God just change his mind? Because God said this. He said, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that's going forth out of my mouth. God said, once I do something and I give something, it's given. And I'm not taking it back. Now, here's the good news. Adam and Eve, they had that authority, but let me just tell you, they had it for a limited period of time. And that period of time is coming to an end, right? Some people call it the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Don't even think about the end of the world, all right? It's the end of human government. Because the Bible says, Revelation chapter 20, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to rule and to reign. Not to end the world. He's coming back to rule and to reign. So when Jesus comes back, it's not the end of the world. It's just the end of Democrats and Republicans, right? He's coming back as king. He's coming back as Lord of lords and King of kings. And the Bible says he's coming back to rule and reign. And he'll reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And he will take and make every wrong right. Did you hear that? He's coming back to make every wrong right. So in a sense, God created Satan as a cherub angel. But Adam and Eve bowed their knee and he took their authority and their dominion. And what Satan uses today in the earth is the dominion that God had given to Adam and to Eve, right? So 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "For this reason, the Son of God, Jesus, was made manifest. It was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done." He came to destroy the works of the devil. One translation says this is the express purpose of liquidating the devil's activity. How many ever been to a liquidation sale? Jesus came to liquidate the devil. All right? He came to take that authority and take it back. So immediately when Adam and Eve sinned, this is what God said. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise," that's Jesus, "the seed of the woman will bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel." Right? So what God did immediately, the devil thought, "I have won." Immediately, God gives the devil an Excedrin headache. He said, "There's somebody coming. It's the seed of the woman. And when the seed of the woman comes, he's going to crush your head." Now, that is literally an ancient term. When a king would come in and conquer another kingdom, he would knock him to the ground, take his foot. You can read about it in the book of Joshua, because Joshua had all of his men come over to the kings that they had conquered, and he said, "Put your foot on their heads and on their necks," and they would crush. So what God said is, "Devil, the seed of the woman is coming, and he's going to crush your head. He's going to take your authority. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." All right. So Romans 5 verse 12 says it this way. "Therefore, just as through one man," it's Adam and Eve, "sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Now, let me unpack that verse a minute. We don't like this verse. If you're an American, you don't like it because you didn't get to vote. Right? But what this is saying is this, is that Adam and Eve were our representatives. And they represented us in what they did. And when they bowed their knee to Satan, that position that they had fallen, they fell to a new position. They were subservient to the devil. And they reproduced, not in the condition God originally created them in, where they had fellowship with God, but they reproduced in the condition that they fell to. So the Bible says, thus all sin. Because you were in Adam and Eve, they made a decision that affected you and affected me. I don't know about you. When I get to heaven, I want to talk to them about it. Because they sure did make a mess of things. And again, we say, "Well, I don't like that. I don't think that's how it should work." Let me tell you a true story. All right. Jeannie and I, we get married, and we literally celebrate our first anniversary as missionaries in Mexico. But at the time, it was technically illegal to be a missionary in Mexico. So at least every 180 days, we had to leave the country, get new papers, come back into Mexico. So our first son is born there. Our son Joshua, he has dual citizenship. And every time we would try to get back into Mexico, they would be hassling us. "You're actually living there. You can't live there." Maybe wanting a bribe. So we get pregnant again, and we thought, "Well, let's have our next son born in the United States. Let's have him born in a really nice, clean American hospital." So it's about 3 weeks before he's due, and we go up and visit Jeannie's parents in the state of Washington. About 3 o'clock one morning, she wakes me up, and she says, "My water broke." And she said, "We need to go to the hospital." So we get in the car. And men, I think you're going to like this. I think you will. All right. I thought, this is the one time I can speed all I want. And I won't get a ticket. So it's 12 miles. We are doing 100 miles an hour. Right? We get to the hospital. We go to the emergency room door, and it's locked. Okay, so we drive around to the front of the hospital. In the meantime, Samuel's born. So he's born in the van, all right? And interestingly, Samuel was born in the van, then Daniel was born in the van, and then Stephanie was born in the van. So 3 out of 4, all right? And that's why they're van der Klocks, because they were... Okay, now here's the lesson, all right? We, Jeannie and I, made a decision that affected Samuel's life. He became an American citizen instead of a Mexican citizen because we decided to move up to the state of Washington before he was born. Right? In the same way, what Adam and Eve did affected you and affected me. Right? So it says that through that one sin, death came into the world. Death, sin, sickness, disease, war, pestilence, prejudice, any wicked thing you can think of, it came in when Satan came in. All right? And interestingly, you can read Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. It's the last time the devil's mentioned. It says he's thrown into the lake and fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and he will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Read the next chapter. It's beautiful. God says there's no more pain. There's no more dying. There's no sickness, no more disease. He wipes away every tear and all the former things. They're gone. They passed away. He says, I make all things new. Before the devil, there is no sickness, no disease, no war, no pestilence. After the devil, there's no more sickness, no more disease, no more war, no more pestilence. How many of you can figure out where it all comes from? It comes from the devil. Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. So Adam represented you and I in everything that he did. 1 Corinthians 15. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being or a living soul. Some of your translations say God breathed in him the breath of life and he became a living soul or immortal being. When God breathed his breath into Adam, he became immortal, right? Now, you are immortal. What it means is this, you have a beginning, but you will never cease to exist. Your body can die, but the real you that lives on the inside, you are going to live on forever and ever and ever someplace, right? So the first man, Adam, became a living being, a living soul, an immortal soul. The last Adam, how many know there's two Adams? The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And then it goes on in the next verse and it says that the last Adam is the Lord from heaven. It's Jesus. So we have two representative men. The first Adam, married to Eve, lived in a garden, and he represented you and I, and he ate from a tree and messed it all up. But God sent the last Adam, Jesus. He hung on a tree and he undid everything the first Adam did. And he came and he liquidated the works of the devil. He came and brought salvation to mankind. He came and he came with dominion. Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes. His message is repent. Other translations say, change the way you think or reevaluate your life because the kingdom of God is at hand or the kingdom of God is here. It's now, it's available, and it's for you. That was Jesus' message, right? But then he said something interesting. He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, he said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Part of the kingdom of God that Jesus said is now is available, is authority over evil spirits. In fact, listen to Mark chapter 1, verse 27. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. Do you realize, you read your Bible all through the Old Testament, nobody had authority over evil spirits. Nobody. And you go to places today where you do not find Christianity, and they will light candles, they'll burn incense, they'll do incantations, and they will try to please, subdue an evil spirit and get it to leave. But you know what Jesus did when he came? He took authority over them and just said, I command you, go. Nobody had ever seen that before, right? Why did he come? He came to undo the works of the devil, right? Because humanity had been affected by sin and were under the authority, the suppression of the enemy, nobody did that. But what Jesus did was that, listen, what Jesus did in his life, he did because he was going to pay for it, purchase it on the cross. That's why he did it. It's at the cross that Jesus defeated the devil. And really, that is the message that Jesus came to bring, that the enemy is defeated. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, that's Satan and demons, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that is the cross. So he defeated the devil at the cross. How did he do it? He came and did something no one else could do. He came and took your place. The first Adam got us into sin, eating of a tree. But the last Adam paid for our sin, hanging on a tree. And he represented you. In fact, in God's eyes, it was not just Jesus on the cross. You were there. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. He's saying, in God's eyes, Jesus was on that cross, but I was on the cross with him. Just like when Adam sinned, I was there. In God's eyes, when Jesus went to the cross, I was there. In fact, Pilate put a parchment over Jesus' head on the tree. And this is what it said. Jesus, the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. He's saying that's what he's dying for. But the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4 that God came down and put something on the cross, right? It says that the handwriting and requirements that was against you, that God took and nailed it to the cross. You say, what's that talking about? Handwriting's against me. Well, when Moses went up on the mountain, you remember? He spent 40 days with God. The Bible says that God took his finger and wrote in tablets of stone. Ten Commandments. Remember those? Anybody ever broke any? Just want to check. All right. Those are the commandments that were against you. By the way, there's not actually just 10. There's 613 of them. All right. That's how many there are. Right. So what actually would happen is this. God took Moses on that mountain, and he showed him a tabernacle in heaven and said, Moses, make one, but make it as a copy. So Moses makes that tabernacle. And you remember, there's three parts, but the most holy part, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant's there. It's a box, right? It's got a lid on it. It's covered with gold. There's a couple angels on top of it with their wings stretched out. And God said, right on top of that mercy seat, the lid, he said, my presence will be there and I will meet with you right there, right? Now, inside, if you were to lift the lid up, but how many of you know you don't lift the lid? How many saw Raiders of the Lost Ark? You know, never, ever lift the lid, all right? But now listen, the well of souls is not inside there. But what is in there are the Ten Commandments. Everything that God wrote is in there, underneath the lid. But once a year, never without blood, the high priest would go in there and he would take that blood and he would put it seven times on top of that mercy seat. And then right above that mercy seat was God's presence, right? So we've got your sins and my sins. We've got blood. And then we've got God's presence. What covered our sin? Blood. So the Bible tells us that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the lifestyle you received from your parents, but with the precious blood of Christ. Acts 20 said that God redeemed you with his own blood. Whose blood was on there? God's blood. Jesus' blood was God's blood. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, took his blood and he went into the tabernacle of heaven and he put his blood on that mercy seat. And it says that he obtained an eternal redemption. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. How often did Jesus take his blood? Once. The high priest came every year. Every year, again and again, because the blood of bulls and goats, it could never take away your sin. But what Jesus' blood did was it took away your sin. In fact, he obtained an eternal redemption. So the high priest then went in once a year, never without blood. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been going to sleep and felt guilty? Felt condemned? Thought about what you did that day and you're like, oh, jeepers, I did it again. Right? The devil tries to condemn you. But if the devil's ever doing that at bedtime, you should tell him a bedtime story. You should tell him this story. Once upon a time, Jesus went once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption. He did it, the Bible says, once at the end of the ages. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the Bible says that Christ was offered once to bear your sins. You tell him about the once. And just remind him, Jesus took care of it. And if you want to talk about my past, let me remind you of your future. Because it's not very bright. You're going to be thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And you're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. And after you remind him of that bedtime story, I guarantee you, he will fall asleep and go away. He will be gone. So let me close with this one last thought. What does the resurrection, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection really mean to you and to me? Romans chapter 4, verse 25. This is one of the things that this means. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus did not go to the cross because of what some Jewish people did. He did not go to the cross because of Romans, because of what Pilate did. The Bible says he was delivered up because of your offenses and my offenses. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. But he was raised because of, or some translations say, when you were justified. You say, what does that mean? Well, to be justified is to be made just as if I'd never sinned. So the fact that Jesus is raised means that Jesus' sacrifice for your sin was accepted in heaven. And God made an exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he that knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, let me just tell you something. You are in him. And the Bible says, in him, you're the righteousness of God. Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. Verse 17, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed, or God's way of making men as righteous as himself. Now, if you're religious, that gets you mad. But that's what God did. At the cross, God took your and my sin and he put it in Jesus. God took that parchment, the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2, with all of the sins of humanity, All 613 of them, not just 10. And God nailed it to the cross and said, this is why Jesus is dying. He's dying and he's paying the price for every one of these sins. No matter what you did, it was on the list. Jesus paid for it. God took your unrighteousness and put it on Jesus. He became sin, or a sin offering for us. And he took his righteousness and gave it to you. You see, when you receive Jesus, you're receiving his righteousness. Again, it's God's way of making men as righteous as himself. I want you to just think about this. Because of what Jesus did, if you've received Jesus and you were to die right now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. With the exact same righteousness that God has given you now because of what Jesus did, you will hang out with God for all of eternity. You don't go someplace and burn for 10,000 years to get made right. Jesus made you right. Again, Hebrews chapter 10 says that by that single sacrifice, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. How much of it did Jesus do? All of it. He did everything. So it's not Jesus' blood plus what you do, and it's not Jesus' blood what you don't do. How many of you know some people are like, well, I don't chew and I don't smoke and I don't run with those that do, and I do this and I do that and I do the next thing. Remember the Pharisee praying? The tax, he's praying, and Jesus, he said, oh God, I thank you, I'm so good. You know, I'm not like that sinner over there. And I tithe, and I fast twice a week, and I do this. He said, I don't do those things, and I do these things. Jesus, that man was not justified. But the tax collector beat his chest and said, God, be merciful, or be a blood-covered mercy seat to me, a sinner. You're not right with God because of what you do and you don't do. You're right with God because God took your unrighteousness and put it on Jesus, took his righteousness and said, this is my free gift to you. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. He makes you right with him. Say, would you bow your heads for just a moment? Jesus made this statement. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying this. He's saying all the good things you could do, all the good things I could do, could never make us right with God. He said, but I am the way. I'm the way to forgiveness. I'm the way to peace. I'm the way to be right with God. I am the only way to heaven. That's what Jesus said. But it's not enough to just believe in God or to believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now the Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be the children of God. See, you got to receive Jesus. And that doesn't mean you add Jesus to your life. That means you give Jesus your life. You receive him as your king, as your Lord, and as your Savior. 50 years ago, this month, I prayed a prayer that absolutely changed my life. I've never been the same. A friend shared this verse with me. Romans 10, 13. This is what it says. It says, whosoever, that's you, will call on the name of the Lord. That's what we're going to do the way the Bible tells us to. And this is God's promise, will be saved. We're going to pray a prayer. And if you will pray this prayer from your heart, when we say amen in just a moment, your sins are going to be gone. You're going to be right with God. You're going to be a part of his kingdom on your way to heaven. So I'm going to ask everybody, as your eyes are closed, head bowed, would you pray this prayer out loud and make from your heart, just make these words your own. Just say, oh God, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe his blood paid for my sins. And I believe he rose again. victorious over death, over sin, and over the devil. And I give him all of my heart and all of my life. I hold nothing back. I receive Jesus today as my King, my Lord, my Savior, and I'm going to live for him. And I thank you. You've heard my prayer. My past is gone. I'm a part of your kingdom today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've been encouraged by this message. For more information, if you're in need of prayer or just want to connect with the community, go to reslife.org, follow us on social media, or email us anytime at reslife@reslife.org. We hope you have a blessed day, and we will see you again soon.